Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Habakkuk, the third chapter, beginning with verse 17, the final verses of his book. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Debbie Downer, Saturday Night Live character who always seems to put the negative spin on everything. Any conversation that comes up, she can turn it very quickly into just a bad mood. Tough to have her in the mix. At first glance, the book of the prophet Habakkuk may make it seem like Habakkuk is a Debbie Downer. It's quite a picture of doom and gloom. The problems that he faced in his day, however, were not just imagined or rooted in some bad attitude. They were very real. Just to give you a quick backdrop of what was going on in his day in the context of our reading for today, we're roughly 600 years or so before the time of Christ's birth, and evil empires had arisen and were now threatening the people of Judah. They were kind of caught in the middle of all of this warfare that was going on. And they were now at a point of being dominated and crushed by foreign powers. A king that they had had, just previous to this, King Josiah, who had been very faithful to the Lord, had made an attempt at reformation among the people, to bring back the word of God to the people and to restore all of this. And there had been some great hope in the minds of prophet Habakkuk that Josiah would have been a great answer for the people of his day. And yet, Josiah had been now killed in battle. And following his death, there was kind of a period of moral decay that was starting to take hold among the people again, and the people were growing more and more unfaithful to God. So in the middle of all of this difficulty and sorrow and now poverty that had entered their land and all the trouble they were facing, Habakkuk asked God throughout the whole letter, why? Why, Lord, is this happening? How long are you going to let this go on? Why do your faithful people have to struggle with this? Why do we have to face such difficult things in life? It's all very puzzling to Habakkuk. Now, what I've just described of the context of his letter is really quite a stark contrast to how we live today. Yesterday in our chapel, we were reminded of all the wonderful blessings that we get to enjoy, and all the things that we have. Just think of how much money in 1 month's time we might spend on recreational things that probably most people in the world wish they had just that amount of money to live on. And yet it's interesting, isn't it, that despite how great things are for us and how wonderful things can go in our lives, boy, we're living in some pretty tough economic times, aren't we? Things are really pretty tough for us here in the United States. We can still kind of get caught up in that thinking that, boy, things are really bad right now and so on. I remember years ago hearing a report about a lady who was complaining about how much it cost for her to hire someone to come and clean her swimming pool. Kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? There aren't many of us that are trying to jump walls to get into other countries and risk our lives or try to put together homemade rafts to float to other lands to get away from the United States. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we live in pretty good times, and our lives, for the most part, go pretty well. Habakkuk's words, however, remind us, too, of the reality of this fallen world, how quickly God could permit all of this to be taken away from us, how easily all of these things that we get to enjoy and so on could just unravel right before our eyes. The conditions that he describes are conditions that do exist in the world and for many people exist in their lives. Poverty, lack of food, lack of employment, famine, drought. These are all very real types of problems that we may someday have to face. But Habakkuk demonstrates something to us, a heart of faith, in these final verses of his prophecy that are just so instructive for us and, in a sense, heartwarming. Despite being surrounded by all of these desperate conditions, despite the fact that everything in his life was a downer, he still expresses gratitude to God. He is still capable of mustering up thanksgiving. Listen to what he says. He lists off all the stuff, and then he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." True contentment comes from having an eternal perspective on life and possessing the certainty that we have of salvation, of getting to heaven, because of what our Savior has done for us. And sometimes we can lose that perspective because we can get so focused on the things we want and expect to have in this life. Years ago, I was listening to a woman on a documentary about millionaires, multimillionaires. And she was saying, she was only in her 40s, and she said, "It's hard for me to think of anything that I could not possibly purchase that I would want. And yet, there's still something missing." If you place your hope of finding real contentment in life in the things you can get here and now, at some point in time, those things will let you down and you will be disappointed. God invites you to look at your lot in life, your present condition and future things you may go through, rather in the light of heaven. The believer is instructed to permit the future joys of heaven that we have because of what our Savior has done for us, to permit those joys of heaven to be the window through which we now go back and look at all the things that happened in our life and the various things that we may have to face in our life. Let me give you a couple examples. Remember one of the first years that I was in the ministry, one of the hardest first hospital calls I had to make was on a woman in our church. She was in her upper 60s, who had now been told that she had leukemia. She was going through treatment for this and had lost all of her hair. I remember when I had to go into her hospital room, I had to put on a mask and everything, and I was very intimidated about this hospital call to have to go and talk to her. And yet, she expressed such gratitude to God. Here she was, dying of leukemia. She had lost her husband already. She was now losing her hair, and her health was deteriorating rapidly. And yet all she could talk about was just how wonderful the Lord had been to her. And I thought, what a lesson to me. I remember years ago, too, reading an article about a man who lived down in Peru. Extreme poverty, dirt floor. Walls of his house were just made out of just thatch and stuff. And yet the focus of the article was on just how happy and joyful he was and what a cheerful heart he had, and how he was just so happy that his children were getting to learn about Jesus, and he was celebrating the fact that one of his children had recently been baptized. Martin Luther says this about this text: "There are many people whose heart God can fill so that they may have only a morsel of bread and yet are cheerful and more content than any prince or king." We have a tendency in our sinful nature to focus on what we don't have in life, or maybe how we've been robbed in life. And we can sometimes dwell on the dreams that we've had that didn't quite work out the way we wanted. But true contentment starts by looking at what you do have for Christ's sake. First of all, salvation in heaven because of his shed blood for you. And remembering how unworthy we are of this, and then returning to look back at the earthly blessings you have in light of all of that. True Christian gratitude grows from a heart of contentment, which in turn is grounded in the certainty of our salvation. And so may we look at our lives and say with the prophet Habakkuk, "Thank God that he has not given me what I deserve in life. And even though things may not work out the way I want in life, even though I may have to face tough economic times, even though I may not get the job I want, even though the person I wish to marry may dump me, Even though my health should fail me, even though my lot in life is marked with poverty, and even when there appears to be no outward signs that God even cares about me, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the many blessings that you shower down upon us in our daily lives. But we especially thank you for the wonderful eternal blessings you've given us in Christ. We pray that you would help us always to keep a proper perspective on the things of this life as we look forward to our future home in the mansions above. We ask this all in your heavenly name. Amen.